taking off, and RSS behind it. We've been finding some really interesting uses for our product to the point that we now believe that the RSS movement is going to drive integration, desktop integration, in a way that I don't think that any of us really expected, except maybe Adam and Rohit were really kind of thinking about that originally, because it's all part of their the underlying technology that they built. There are two key areas where we've seen things happening. Maybe a little story will help. We've done some business with ING out in Amsterdam, lightweight integration project.
Okay.
They called us up. Ron Rasmussen, our VP of engineering, was there, and he said, "Hey, look, we want you to go talk to this guy, Willem." Okay. Willem's working on a IBM WebSphere portal project for ING Group. So there's the bank, the insurance company, a number of other businesses that they put together.
They also manage benefits, or is that another ING? Retirement benefits, or is that someone else?
I think they do.
Okay.
So they have 115,000 employees, and the most visible one in the U.S. is the bank,
mm-hmm.
where they're doing a lot of retail work. And so the board had this portal project, substantial, as you know, and they said, well, what can we do to help you? So, well, I want to get RSS feeds in. So, well, why is that? He says, well, because it's obviously the best way to get information into the bank. And as you can imagine, in an environment like that, they want to control access to the web. They control desktops, lock them down to the greatest extent possible. They're concerned with security, but they're also concerned with productivity. And so he said, oh, you're concerned with RSS readers and stuff like that. You're going to have the point cast problem, if you will, the bandwidth problem. And he said, yeah, I know that's coming, but there's a couple other things I really need your help with. Okay, what's that? I want a reader that I can plug into WebSphere at the portlet, and I don't want to install any code.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to update in real time. Okay, what else do you need? He said, I want to get multiple feeds, and I guess the existing portlets on WebSphere don't handle multiple feeds. What else do you want? He said, I want to be able to manage what feeds are available within the institution. In other words, I don't want to just make all 6 million feeds available. I want to be able to control that because it needs to be relevant for our employees. So we want to be able to manage that. And I said, okay, what else? And he said, I also want to be able to filter the feeds so that I can make sure that it's relevant and not getting bombarded by stuff.
So I have to say that I find the concept of a company explicitly restricting the source of information that its people can have access to be antithetical to my notion of productivity, but that's going to be their approach. But I see where you're going with this in terms of the ability to merge and consolidate feeds, you know, both from an efficiency standpoint and also from an editorial point of view, which is to say, you know, that a bunch of people who are working together in a corporate environment can benefit from some shaping and aggregation and editorial definition, if you will, of the sets of information sources that they're consuming, right? And I think that's really where you're going with this.
Right.
But I also want to kind of rewind a little bit here, because I have to say that I've been hearing this RSS bandwidth issue being talked about a lot lately, and I have an issue with that, because as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing particularly different about what's going on with it. Well, there's actually nothing at all different about what's going on with RSS relative to bandwidth as opposed to the general nature and properties of the web. Right, so the web has notions of caching, and it has notions of proxying, and you know, all of this technology is there. And so I just, you know, when I read things like, where is it? I actually I saved a couple of these examples. RSS bandwidth has become an issue. If you get popular, the RSS bandwidth issue is going to kill you. You know, as though that were something different from if you get popular, the demand for your HTML pages is going to kill you, right? It's, you know, from a certain perspective, exactly the same thing. Right? Isn't it?
No. Well, I think there is an element of truth in what you're saying.
And so, you know, and so a lot of these, hand-wringing reports about RSS bandwidth that have been in the press in the last, 3 to 6 months, when you dig down, what you find is that the issue is about readers who are not respecting rules which have nothing to do with RSS in particular, but are just basic properties of how to be a polite consumer of content on the web, right? So if modified since and the 304, respecting the 304 error message and things like that. I mean, this was, you know, in the RSS community, we kind of went through this about a year and a half or 2 years ago, because originally nobody really bothered, and then when it started to become an issue, people were aware that, oh, well, you know, Apache and IIS and the other web servers can do this caching protocol, and the browsers speak it as well, and the RSS readers should, and then, you know, by pretty short order, most of them did, right? Most of them did, and there are ill-behaved readers, and that's a problem, but, you know, by and large, it's, at a certain level of scale, right? It's not that there isn't an issue, but it's that it's the same issue as the whole rest of the web experiences relative to demand and bandwidth and managing that, right? Now, I do, I understand why you called me, and I understand how your event routing technology is relevant to this space, and there is a conversation to be had around this, and so I want to be careful, you know, to lay this out properly. So, for example, Bloglines is a popular web-based aggregator, and Bloglines, it's the one I use, for example. So, I'm no longer going to source websites. I'm going to Bloglines to consume a lot of this content, right? Now, I had a conversation with Mark Fletcher around this same thing. He called me up and said, we've solved the RSS bandwidth issue, right? And the answer is, well, no, you really haven't. What you've done is you've moved it around, right? You've moved, for the, couple of thousand people who are subscribed to me at InfoWorld via Bloglines, right, that, that content throughput has been shifted from InfoWorld to Bloglines, which Chad Dickerson over at InfoWorld very much appreciates, because that's really helpful to him, right? It doesn't make it go away. It just means that someone who's setting up a business model, which is about delivery of that stuff, is able to take some of the load off of someone whose business model is not necessarily about the delivery of that stuff. Does it, right?
No, I think you're right. I think one of the things about the bandwidth problem, what we're saying is it's not the predominant problem to solve. We think there's a use of RSS in terms of being able to deliver business events in a timely way.
I agree. And so what I'm suggesting is that you guys are leading with the wrong foot here when you play to this sort of currently popular meme about RSS bandwidth, right? I think you're selling yourself short because, that's really not fundamentally the problem. And to the extent that it is, it's got essentially nothing to do with RSS, right? And so I would say that the real interesting challenge here is more an editorial problem than a bandwidth management problem, i.e. how do you, package sets of feeds together, and push subscriptions upstream, to cache points, which are identified with particular use cases and particular populations and particular topics. Is that a fair statement of where you're going with this?
Yes, I think it is. Where we're headed is the use of RSS as a mechanism for syndicating corporate data.
Yeah.
Both within the organization, so to your constituents, and if the ING example is good here, they have a lot of collaboration that goes on within the group, publishing reports on what's happening in Italy, what's happening in the Netherlands, with the World Bank, so forth. These are all reports that are part of their intellectual property.
Yes.
And they have a great deal of difficulty sharing that information across all their
all their constituents within the organization.
Exactly, and you've touched on a key point. I think sharing is a very key point here, right? The default situation from an RSS perspective is that I'm sitting here with my 273 feeds, and my colleagues are sitting in their readers with their own independent sets of feeds, many of which overlap with mine. But I don't know necessarily what they're reading. They don't know necessarily what I'm reading. If we're working together, a shared sense of what the group is subscribed to is a very powerful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about how something like that is implemented, how that plays out in your system.
Well, John, I think what we do is we take this thing even beyond that.
Okay.
And that is, as Richard pointed out, where ING is going. It's using this mechanism, which is, maybe it's the underlying technology of blogging, or maybe it's the underlying technology beneath RSS, but it's enabling people to get information, not just conversational information like blogs, but enterprises that they need to move customer information around.
Mm-hmm.
So ING, in the first pass, is managing and delivering RSS news feeds to people's desktops.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they deliver is corporate content.
Yes.
For their systems. So in a sense, if you think about this this reader as becoming the desktop integration point for corporate information on an event-driven basis, it's a very, very powerful mechanism.
Right.
We've been doing that for a number of years. What RSS does is it makes the whole thing simpler. So all you have to do to get your report set up is go to the IT department and say, look, I'd like to get all of these customer leads or service call leads on these customers put into an RSS channel,
mm-hmm.
and the specification is complete.
Mm-hmm. So your point originally was that the portal system, I think you said it was WebSphere in this case?
Yes, WebSphere.
Was not sufficiently flexible to allow the compartmentalization of feeds into the sorts of categories that would be necessary for people. Is that part of the value that you're adding?
That was part of the value. But I think there's greater value in giving the enterprise the ability to manage it.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we all agree that the flow of information is important. But corporations have a tendency, when they use technology, to lock down desktops, to control access, to manage that for their own purposes.
Right.
The interesting example I had of this, I got last week at the Air Force. And it's a little bit off the topic, but I think it's the right example. They set up a mechanism for instant messaging from the soldiers in Iraq back to their families.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that using a regular instant messaging environment, they couldn't do it because of security problems.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up a server-based mechanism to be able to manage that. And they have 5 users per family. And they're able now to use that mechanism and manage it and, in fact, in a military basis, to control it as far as security is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an extreme example of what corporations need to be able to use simple technology is to harness it. And our server-based mechanism, our publish and subscribe, the delivery when available method, allows corporations to do stuff that they couldn't before. It ties into a security system. So it's a little bit antithetical, I agree, to the concept of openness that drives the blog world. But I think it's very, very powerful for enterprises because it allows them now to literally get information that's hard to get out. Get it easily to a viewer in a way that's very easy to manage and give the user more control than he's had before.
Okay. Well, let me just kind of review what I know of your technology and your products, and then we can kind of work down into how it could integrate with RSS-oriented distribution of content or of data. So, my understanding here is that you have what you call, I guess, an event server. Right, and the event server materializes in HTTP space, a network of publish subscribe style topics.
Right,
and then your client piece effectively routes packets of information to these topic nodes in the network, and other clients are consuming those nodes. And that, and this is actually a piece of it that I've never been completely clear about, but I understand is sort of the really interesting part, is that it's not simply that the information is relayed from a producer to a topic node to a consumer, but that a sort of a network of these topic nodes, if you will, can form, and that network can do complex filtering.
Yeah.
So that what ends up happening is that the subscriptions, if you will, can get sort of pushed into that network and thereby aggregated and recombined, you know, for a variety of purposes, right?
Right.
Which is, you know, extremely interesting, right? You know, how that is managed is something I'm a little vague on. I've been through that, but I'm not sort of current with it. So that'd be an interesting maybe thing to talk about, just in general how that works, and then specifically how this can now be applied to this world of RSS information flow.
Yeah, I think the relevance to the RSS world is this ability to deliver relevancy, where relevancy could be a complex event, or it could be a filter on an existing event that says, I only want to be alerted to events that have this characteristic. The
right.
way we do that is within the event router itself, we have a mechanism for calling out two filters. And those filters can look at cross-topic. The product ships with certain tools like regex and xpath and so forth for being able to parse regular expressions, but you can also hook in any code that you want in there. For example, code that would be doing fraud detection in a bank,
mm-hmm.
That would be monitoring people coming to the bank, changing their password and taking out $5,000 and having that repeat very quickly in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that you could be checking for when you're able to watch these events cross topic.
Okay, so part of the issue here is the ability to monitor the flow of traffic through the network, which is related to the ability to do that in a web services network, which is, I think, you know, one of the still untapped or underexploited advantages of running your traffic through a web services network, is that it can be observed and logged and audited and potentially intermediated, right? So that's
right.
part of it. But I'm also, you know, I'm particularly interested in this piece about sort of merging topics into larger sets of things, right? So, I mean, maybe you can just make this concrete for me with an example. I don't know, maybe from the ING case that you discussed or something like that, that
mm-hmm.
just kind of gets, you know, for somebody who's listening to this who hasn't seen the event router and for whom that's pretty abstract, you know, can we kind of talk about this in terms of, well, you've got, this feed, that feed, and, you know, those are components of this other feed, and people can subscribe, you know, to the master one, or they can subscribe to the detail feeds, right? I mean, just try to spell
so
it out like
might,
that.
So an example would be you'd have in a feed that would be representing your orders that are coming in from your particular resellers.
Uh-huh.
And you might have a filter on that that says if a certain order has reached a certain threshold, you would cause a new event, which would be a special order, and that would be delivered. Now, that could all, in that same code, you could have code that would say, check the inventory level, which is another topic.
Okay.
And the inventory is decrementing and increasing based on your supply chain.
Okay.
And you would then be able to cause an alert that would say, your reseller in Iowa just ordered 300 times more than they usually do.
Exactly. Okay.
And, otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do that. You need two pieces of information to be able to do that.
Okay. Okay. And then from the perspective of the producer of that feed, nothing particularly changes, right? In other words, it's fairly well understood by a lot of people how you could transmit a series of events or a series of data points, a series of alerts through an RSS feed, right? How do you, you know, how to push that stuff out as RSS is understood by a lot of people. How to consume
right,
it as RSS is understood by a lot of people. The part in the middle that's sort of interesting here, which is, in, you know, sort of transparently to the producer and the consumer, how are you rearranging the flow of information in this intermediate network?
Yes.
Right, and that's where you would sit in this architecture, right?
I think so also, but I also think that we are in a unique position with our simple integration to be able to connect data that is in corporate systems, like inventory, like transactional data, to syndicate or publish them as RSS feeds.
Okay. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, about how your tool set is going to help people expose internal data as potentially RSS feeds.
Right. So through our connectors, we can get at any database. We have also adapters for CRM systems like Salesforce, like Siebel, to be able to get at corporate data. And through our RSS adapter, we can syndicate that as an RSS feed and publish it directly to our event router.
Okay.
That means that people that are coming in through RSS readers, and this would be any reader, can subscribe to those events.
Okay. Well, when you say publish to your event router, I mean, I'm assuming that the event router is also capable of consuming just ordinary RSS feeds, right? And so in that case, there's no sort of active push, if you will, to the event router. It's that the event router is pulling from, I am assuming, can pull from any standard source, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
From that perspective, you know, there are lots of ways to skin the cat of getting your corporate data out of databases and other repositories and into RSS, right? And
yes.
So, the unique thing here is what's happening inside the event router's network.
Yeah, no, that's not a unique thing. It's just that when you put the two together, it's a unique solution. That's sort of a complete solution.
Okay. I seem to have run out of questions.
John, I'd like to come back to the bandwidth discussion. There's an open, and maybe it's my question for you. When you talk about solving that by people behaving well, and which means only polling once an hour or whatever.
Right.
How does that mechanism solve the problem for information that has a high timeliness quotient? There's certain sorts of information that you need right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or as soon as it's available.
Yes.
Breaking news, I suppose, if it's in the news business, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to wait an hour to get notified that a bomb hit New York.
Yep.
How does that work if you don't convert from an RSS polling mechanism into a publish and subscribe push, if you will, mechanism?
Well, it doesn't, but, then I suppose one could argue, I probably would argue, that RSS technology as we know it today is really not designed for real-time notification, right?
Exactly.
And
ours is.
I understand that your system is designed for real-time notification.
Yes.
But to the extent that what you're describing here is an intermediary which ultimately is producing stuff that is consumed by existing RSS readers,
yeah,
right, then, you know, that remains a potential benefit, you know, from an RSS perspective, right? It is obviously not a potential benefit from the perspective of clients that are using, you know, your software directly, right? So, I've worked with your stuff, and I know, exactly how events can appear real-time in, for example, a spreadsheet or some other application that was built around your client piece, right? I mean, that's... You know, I totally get that, right? I'm just, you know, that's kind of not the RSS model.
Exactly.
Right.
But our offer includes the ability, we've been coining this Turbo RSS, to take a regular reader or our reader, and rather than have it pull every news feed that it's looking for an update on, our blog lines, when there's new information in our mechanism, it gets delivered immediately without the pull.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't require a change to the reader. The benefit is split. For the user, if they want it faster, that's fine. But many users, for certain sorts of applications, don't really care, right?
Well, hang on. Can you just backtrack to it doesn't require change to the reader and explain how that can be?
We've devised a way to add a plug-in for any reader so that it can take a feed without a pulse.
So let's be concrete about this. I mean, one of the readers that I use is web-based. Is blog lines, right? So presumably you can't plug into that, or maybe you can if you're proxying local HTTP. I don't know. Another one might be NetNewsWire, which is a client-based reader.
Any client-based reader that's doing polling.
Yeah.
What we do is our plugin sits on the inbox in the system tray, and we publish to that, and the reader then polls to the local file, so it's not polling across the network.
So let's unpack that a little bit more. I just want to understand what you're saying here. So if I'm, for the sake of argument, let's say that I'm using a client-based aggregator, and let's say that I'm on Windows, and so it's NewsGator, for example, right? So is what you're saying that I'm going to point NewsReader at your proxy rather than at the web?
Right, and when you go into, exactly.
Okay, but NewsGator or any other local reader is still configured to a polling schedule. That's just how they work, right?
Right,
so it's not
right.
Obvious to me how you can sort of reach into the thing and change that.
Right, and the way we do that is we create a URL that's local to the desktop in the reader, and then it polls to that point, and then we proxy that with our publish subscribe, which is only updated when there's a change.
So, okay, so the point would be that you would then be free to go ahead and adjust the polling frequency of the standalone reader to be, say, very frequent, like once
every,
a minute?
Every,
because
yeah,
there, now, there, now there would be no cost associated with doing that?
Yes, right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Let me tie the other end of it together. Let me tie together the other end. There's some benefit to the user, to the reader, if they want to have stuff showing up more frequently. The other benefit, which I think is bigger, is at the publisher, because the publisher, who today does have to manage either users that are impolite or impatient, does have to manage information that's not changing as frequently as the checking. And if you give it to the publisher, then the publisher can push it out on demand. Only when the information changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the publisher has a big advantage in feeding the information to users when they want it, and they can get off of the process of trying to figure out how to manage a fast-growing user base. In addition, certain sort of information that wouldn't have been appropriate for RSS can become appropriate for RSS because it'll get delivered as fast as it occurs. And it fundamentally, that concept, I think, fundamentally enhances what you can do with RSS today.
Right. And that's a good point, and it is the kind of thing which could influence the future development of readers to the extent that they are completely polling-oriented. As we speak today, it's certainly conceivable and obviously desirable that they could become sensitive to alerts and notifications. Of new data, right? That in other words, they would grow APIs that would allow a more intelligent integration between them and the kind of capability that you're talking about.
Right,
right.
So if publishers adopt this mechanism, which I think they will, because we've already had a number of very high level conversations with the very largest publishers, their concern is how to be competitive by getting information that's more relevant more quickly to the people that want it.
And when you say adopt this mechanism, you specifically mean what?
Our technology.
Okay.
Then we know how to add a small piece of code to the reader to make the reader able to accept this faster service if they want it,
mm-hmm.
if the user wants to. And we know that the modification by the reader, the authors of the readers, is rather small and free.
So it's easy to go to this next step as people want to adopt it.
And what is that modification? Because I thought we just figured out that you could actually get away with not changing anything.
You can get away without changing anything, but the reader companies would make a modification like they did to go from RSS to Atom.
And what would that be?
Oh, that would be what we talked about, an asynchronous interface where they were not polling, but being
oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Driven, yeah. Right? So they would see the benefit. Well, our point is that we can do this in a non-disruptive way, but when people see the benefit, they would be inclined to change.
Okay.
And the media companies, as Michael said, they're competing to provide the most relevant content to their users. And if Yahoo can give it a more immediate experience than MSN or AOL, then that's a competitive advantage for them, and vice versa. So they're constantly trying to get the most relevant information out to their users, and that's a competitive advantage. Now, what we're saying is that the way that they can do that is through this event-driven RSS.
Yeah. It's certainly something people have been speculating about for a long time, and it's pretty clear that this is the way in the long run.
So things
probably are going
to
go.
I just want to be able to kind of come back at the bandwidth issue, and I agree with you, you know, what order you kind of bring up the issue is important, right? But it is there. It doesn't go away. And I agree with you, it's not different from the bandwidth issue in general. But I do believe it's a deterrent for people adopting RSS, that there's a concern because RSS is sticky. There's a management process that people need to manage that, and as it expands and grows, it needs to be managed better than it is today.
That's certainly true. What I was really trying to get to is that I think a lot of people are leading with that right now because it's top of mind, if you will. And, you know, I mean, what now the benefits that we've actually got down to here, though, are more on the positive side in terms of opportunity and, you know, much less on the downside in terms of cost, right? The opportunities being, on the one hand, a kind of editorial control over shaping the aggregation of subscriptions and, on the other hand, a value associated with real-time delivery of information, right?
Yeah.
Which are just separate concerns, right? So I've been sort of anxious for an opportunity to kind of untangle those issues, and I think I think we've gotten down to that, which is good. I want to come back then just to the mundane setup details here, because it's been a while since I've run your client. I assume it's similar to what I've seen in the past, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, the particulars of what it is, how big it is, where it runs?
I presume you're talking about the browser implementation, and
In particular, I mean, I'm talking about the Know Now client, right? A lot of people won't be familiar with that, so I assume this is built on top of that. So,
right. So that product or that element is called Live Browser, and we have enhanced that to include an implementation using a Live Browser of a RSS reader, which we call actually the Event Viewer, because we believe we're taking it further than news feeds and into events.
Okay, and so Live Browser, the core piece is what? It's an installable Windows application at this point?
No, it's a set of JavaScript code that downloads with your pages, a small set of JavaScript code that provides a rich client experience, and it contains the JavaScript necessary to be able to update in the browser page with no refresh. Our library, it includes the calls for our library, like can underscore publish and can underscore subscribe and unsubscribe.
Yeah. But so there's also a local engine, right? There's also a local messaging engine.
No.
No?
No.
There was.
with our JavaScript code, there's no client install at all. We update pages, and there's nothing to install on your computer.
Okay, so how's that going to integrate with, a Win32 or .NET or Java-based installed newsreader?
Perfectly.
How?
So the way that would work is if it is a thick client reader, we do install a piece of code, and that is sitting on the desktop, and it's proxying the reader. We do have a reader that we've built ourselves using our live browser that is a zero install. You view it through a browser window, and that does not require code on the client.
Okay, yeah, that I understand, but go back to the previous piece and explain more about how that works.
Okay, the way that works is there's an agent on the desktop, which we call our RSS proxy, or we coined the phrase Turbo RSS for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has code in it that's doing a subscribe
mm-hmm.
to the topic
mm-hmm.
To our server engine, which is the event router.
Right.
And whenever a change happens, it updates a local store with that change. And the RSS reader, that's the thick client, is doing a local poll.
Okay, so your thing is a mini web server that the RSS client, that you call the thick client, is talking to. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, you can think of it that way. Right?
Okay. So yeah. So then I need to be able to synchronize my subscriptions between the reader that I'm using and this thing that's actually doing the fetching, right? So somehow, you know, OPML or other description of what I'm subscribed
yes.
to needs to be communicated and then synchronized with this
yes.
piece, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, you talked about the notion that if this gets to be popular, then the aggregators are going to want to support your API into this and, you know, be able to eliminate polling and respond intelligently to inbound event notifications. What would that API look like? Is there, you know, potentially a standard way of doing that? What do you think about those things?
Yeah, so the API currently is this publish-subscribe API.
So it's yours,
and
yeah.
It is proprietary to our implementation. However, we are following the WS eventing and WS notification standards. So as those become available, you know, we would also implement those.
That's very interesting. I have actually not paid really any attention to those two things, and now you're reminding me that I really ought to have looked into that. So
yes, we're on the committees of both of those standards.
Okay, so then the idea would be that you would also expose potentially a SOAP listener on the local interface, and that would be what applications, what FAT client aggregators would talk to.
Yes.
Are these like big, nasty, scary WS specs, or nice, small, simple WS specs?
The WS eventing is the Microsoft-led one, and it's a lot simpler, and it's really their Indigo.
Oh, okay.
And WS notification is the IBM-led one, and it is the, you know, 500-page spec, includes the entire world on events.
Okay. Oh, so these things are somewhat overlapping? They're not complementary?
They're a little overlapping, and I think they will come together as it moves forward.
Man, how many times have we heard this story, right?
It's just, yeah.
It's just over and over.
It's a very similar story that you've heard before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. So what's your status with this stuff right now?
Well, we are on version 3 of our product. Okay, the KnowNow Enterprise Edition is the product that we're shipping today.
Yeah.
And we're creating another package called the KnowNow Enterprise Syndication Server.
Okay.
And it's going to include these RSS adapters and these desktop elements,
okay.
as well as this zero install reader.
Okay. And what's your timing for that?
Well, we have elements of that today, and if someone, you know, were to want to do an RSS implementation, we can deliver that today, and we're going to be coming out with more pieces in the new year.
Okay.
On an enterprise basis, we can do it today, including the reader. On a publisher basis, that's our standard product anyway.
And I wanted to come back to one other item for clarification.
Okay. Hey, could you guys, by the way, could you also just sort of tag your voices? Because I realize I've lost track of...
This is Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
When we talked early on about ING and the way that they control and restrict and limit, we realized that that would not be the desire of everybody.
Yeah.
So as we put the package together, there is a mechanism that works automatically that when a user sets up a new subscription, it automatically goes and sets up on the back side of the server, the Polar. So it's manageable, but it doesn't require someone to say, hey, I'd like to get this feed. Can I have permission to have it set up?
Understood. People can self-serve in terms of what they want to add to the...
Yeah, we can self-serve. The other thing that we've done is we've added an input feed that automatically takes data from corporate systems and translates it into an RSS format so that it can be delivered into an RSS reader easily. So we've automated both those processes so they're very, very transparent.
Okay.
Because ultimately we're convinced that blogs are happening anyway, as you know.
Yep.
RSS is happening anyway. Corporations are going to want to take advantage of this thing for stuff beyond blogs and news feeds. They're going to want it for that, but they're going to want to go beyond that. And so we've already seen new applications that can be built, such as distribution of corporate regulatory information. You know, there's a new SOX requirement that you need to do this, 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 and this. Well, that can be distributed in RSS format in such a way that the user, when they open it, can go right to a form that says, yes, I got it and I understood it. And because it's a publish and subscribe mechanism, the management structure in the corporation can tell by exception which ones are missing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with email.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't do a wide distribution of something and get something back.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to call this, or Rohit used to call it, the two-way web, enabling the two-way web. You can update browsers without having to install code. You can turn around information. You can publish information. You can make complex events. And then you can return that back to the corporate systems and integrate it seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of the RSS reader with corporate data behind it as integration at the desktop to a greater extent than we've ever seen it before.
Yeah, I would agree.